You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
One pick in the NHL draft, but the minute can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Call him every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Thank you for being a friend.
Oh, I know you'll need one today. Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
And welcome aboard.
I'm Rick DiPietro. Can we get the date?
New York.
Ooh. Oh, that's a nice clue. What do you want from me? My co-host, Dave Rothenberg.
I'll pose like a pig with an apple in my mouth with one of them if you want.
You're a freak. Our amazing producers, the not-so-little Don.
If you're feeling risque.
Here's another freak. That's RJ Santillo. How about our warrior, Raymond Santiago?
Sounds like you don't have trustworthy chickens.
I apparently need better chickens. And of course, as always, we have the company with us. Thank you for getting up with us this Thursday morning. We are DNR, the R&R boys.
Andrade Idolo.
Call us what you want, but don't ever call us lazy. You can hear us every weekday morning, 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Number to call is always 1-800-919-3776.
Calls.
Yeah, we want lots of calls. We have an awesome show planned for you today.
I pride myself on like three things.
It's not physique, I can tell you that. That was nasty. I guess we can discuss that if you want. The New York Rangers with a heartbreaking Game 1 OT loss down in Carolina. A harmless shot from Ian Cole, of all people, in overtime off the stick of Ryan Lindgren was the difference. Yankees, ho-hum, win another game in Baltimore. That's now 9 straight series wins. They're 21-3 in their last 24 games. The Mets win but lose. Max Scherzer pulled himself out of the game. Mid at bat in the sixth with left side discomfort. We'll hear from Mets GM Billy Epler and Aaron Boone, who were both on the K-Show yesterday. How about this pairing, Dave? Tiger Woods, Jordan Spieth, and Rory McIlroy tee it up this morning at 9:11 Southern Hills for the PGA Championship. 7:35. I know this will cheer you up. We have Dave's former co-host, his first love, the voice of the Carolina Hurricanes, Mike Maniscalco. And as always on the Thursday at 6:45, we have Nobservations and Did It Happen in Florida. But before we get to any of that, I'd like to say good morning to my very affectionate co-host.
I hugged hard bodies the other night.
And how did that make you feel, Dave?
I have a big one.
Excuse me?
You are slurping on it.
No, I'm not. You are.
What's Richard? Your middle name?
Mine is Hugh.
That's terrible.
Yes. That is the very best in the business, David Hugh Rothenberg.
Well, good morning. I am not in a good mood.
I could tell.
I'll be honest with you right now. I am not in a good mood. I'm just not.
Oh, you
I'm just not.
Be. You shouldn't be.
I'm livid. The Rangers blew a golden opportunity to take a 1-0 lead in that series. I'm just in a bad mood. I mean, so anything, if I lash out, it's not directed at you. It's just the circumstances that life has brought to me right now.
Well, I think you deserve to. I mean, for what happened with the Rangers game, I mean, two almost perfect periods. To end in a heartbreaking OT loss. And then to watch Max Scherzer pull himself out of that game in yet another MRI. For a Mets starting pitcher. Yeah, it was not a great night.
I wanted to rub old mayonnaise on myself. Now, what do I have here, Santiago, in the group chat? He sends me a photo and it says, I can't even open the thing. Did you get this?
Oh, because he's the stinky droid guy. He sends photos.
So is that why? Because he uses this defective phone. He sends us a photo and it won't even open?
Oh, no, I got it. It's Andrew Gunling and JJ Devaney on Yes.
Why are they on Yes?
They're soccer guys.
They're big TV stars now.
Wait, yeah. So their podcast is now on Yes?
I don't know about the podcast, but they were on Yes Network after the Yankee game last night.
Caught offsides.
Well, what do you mean you don't know? Why were they on Yes?
They were clearly talking soccer. I couldn't tell you.
So then the podcast is now on television?
I don't think it was the podcast. They were talking to somebody from a studio somewhere.
Maybe they had him on as guest because they do a great podcast. I mean, JJ can speak on soccer and the porn industry. So that's entertainment right there.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, tell me that doesn't sound like one of the greatest porn names of all time.
JJ Devaney? He's a very nice guy.
And he wears very tight jeans, almost leggings.
RJ's very tight with him, you know.
Yeah. They're close.
Very tight with him. In fact, I think RJ likes him better than he likes us.
What is wrong with you?
I don't that wouldn't surprise me at all. At all. You just heard RJ. He likes to get a little risque once in a while.
Just win, baby. You got to win everything. It's the American way.
What is that?
That's RJ. Apparently has all the JJ Devaney sound.
Oh, you have JJ Devaney drops.
What is wrong with you?
That's not JJ Devaney.
What is wrong with you?
That's JJ?
That's JJ. It sounded like Ty there for a second.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
Yeah.
It's a time for bravery.
That's JJ.
That's JJ right there.
Great. Great. All right, why don't you go ahead and carry the show? You know the way typically...
If someone crosses me, I hate them forever, and probably irrationally.
You know the way typically, like, we finish the show, and I'm like, boy, I carried you today, and you're like, yes, Dave, you did. You need to carry the show today.
Oh, I'll carry it. You just set me up. Put it right on the tee. I'll whack it.
I got nothing. I have nothing. I'm just in a bad mood.
Well, I don't know how you couldn't be in a bad mood. Well, I mean, there's some positives to take out of that game last night.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, are there really?
Well, after what you saw against Pittsburgh, did you think that the Rangers were capable of doing what they did in the first two periods defensively?
No, but was that the Rangers or was that Carolina just came out and was just dormant for the first 40 minutes of that game?
I think it was both. Just like I think in the third period, it was both. It was desperation for Carolina, and you saw that with Rod Brindamore mixing up the lines, which they don't like to do. So he makes some changes. They respond, had that big push, which you expected in that first 10 minutes. And
I didn't think the Rangers would go into the fetal position, though.
They didn't go into the fetal position. Did they do a good enough job of getting pucks, you know, behind Carolina's defensemen? No, probably not.
They had shots for like the first how many minutes of the third period?
But Dave, that happens. You played two perfect periods. At some point, a team as good as Carolina, especially at home, who, oh, by the way, is the best third period team in the NHL, was going to push. And Igor had to make some saves, and he made some big saves. But
I don't blame Igor.
No, I don't either. But let's not forget. I mean, Kaapo Kakko had a wide open net.
I mean, how do you miss that?
Wide open net, which would have made it 2-0.
How does he miss that? And he played a good game, and I thought that was their best line of the game by far.
Which is a problem. As good as that line was.
Because the first line was dormant last night.
Yeah, Strom's line was not great last night.
And Strom with a dumb penalty.
And by the way, the Panarin back check on the goal. Ugh. Yuck.
When you're in defensive mode.
Well, what happened there, if you watch the play, is Strom decides he's going to change. So they're playing a nice, crispy 1-2-2, which is essentially sitting back because you're only sending one forechecker, but you're clogging up the middle of the ice. So all of a sudden, Strom changes. So now it's a 1-1-2. Zibanejad's late, right? And for some reason, Panarin decides he doesn't really want to get back to his net. And Shesterkin made an unbelievable save on Aho.
He sure did.
And then they knock in the rebound. That's so tough, though. When you give up a late goal like that to bounce back for
deflating.
Overtime.
I thought there was, and I was right, no chance. Once that game was tied at one, no chance they were going to win that game. Just actually pleased it didn't go till midnight.
Once you had that flurry where Niederreiter comes down, and I know that breakaway aggravated you, right? But
Well, yeah, and you yelled at me, and I don't think that's validated.
Well, but listen. You're not going to play a perfect game. So when you're playing a good
team, I
understand
that, but it wasn't the only one. They had odd man rushes. You're protecting. Like you would agree, they played zero offense in the third period, right? They put no offense on the table.
They didn't generate much.
Okay.
In the third period.
So you're in defensive mode. How are you giving up breakaways? And if you're in that mode,
well, this is what if pucks get lost in the neutral zone and all of a sudden they're quick back in transition, like I mentioned, you're not getting pucks deep. Like that's how you protect. You protect the lead is, you make, get out of your zone, which I thought they did really good in the first two periods, like on the walls in the defensive zone, getting pucks out, and then you get pucks behind their D, And you know, you try to generate some offensive zone time. I mean, that's the best way to protect the lead is playing their own, you know, playing the other team's zone.
A devastating loss.
But I'm telling you right now, and I promise you, this is the God's honest truth. When Niederreiter comes down, hits the crossbar,
right,
and then yeah,
it was a hell of a shot, by the way.
It was a great shot, and then, I mean, right after that is when Kako missed the wide open net.
But not like you say wide open. I'm sure there are people who didn't see it. Like the goalie wasn't in the net.
No. It was Trouba took a shot, broken play, got deflected, got blocked in front, and then kicked to Ranta's right. And before he could even react to the puck moving to his right, it was on Kako's stick, and he actually pushed it all the way across the net.
Came that's all game way right there. He puts that in. That's game. We're talking about Rangers win 1-0, home ice. There's the whole thing.
Yeah, 2-0. I mean, that game is. It's going to be hard at that point to come back down 2.
I meant 1-0 in the series.
Yeah. And then, but I was texting you guys last night during the first period. I mean, there was a chance to make that game 3-0 in the first period.
They should have. Ranta was sensational early in that game.
He was. Made that great save on Hedl. Then he made a couple great saves on Reeves. But I did not think after what I saw, and I know the Rangers were once we got through the deadline and then they picked up Mott and Kopp and made those moves, they were better defensively. One of the better teams actually defensively. But then I watched that Pittsburgh series and I'm like, no, this looks very familiar to what we saw earlier in the season. Just they couldn't defend. So I was surprised. I didn't think they could do what they did in the first two periods.
But did they do that, or was Carolina so dormant? That's the big question to me.
I think it was a mix of both. Because you got to remember, both teams played 7-game series, right? I mean, I think it took a lot more work for the Rangers the way they won their series. So, yeah, I mean, there was a little of that. They came off flat, and you could tell that Rod Brindamore wasn't happy. Ian Cole, after the second, you could tell he wasn't happy. Like, let's get to our game. So you expected there'd be a push. There would be a huge push from them early in that third period. And for the most part, you withstood it. But you withstood it, and you gave yourself a chance.
For 17 and a half minutes, you withstood it.
And Kako had the... that's the game. It really... I mean, Kako with the puck on a stick, and that line was their best line.
How do you miss that, though?
I don't know.
I mean, anyone in the NHL, how do you miss that? You're supposed to be a goal scorer. The puck is on your stick. There's nobody in the net.
Yeah, you rush it, I guess. Didn't realize how much time he had.
I guess.
But that's a big moment. And
could be a series-changing moment. Now, listen, they lost game one to Pittsburgh. Very painful fashion. Should have won that game. We all thought it was a bad no-call, right? Or a bad call, whatever you want to say with that interference. So, and we've said it all year long. I really made mention a lot of it in round one. This is a very, very resilient team. But I will just say that I feel extraordinarily deflated this morning.
Yeah, and you should. I mean, you should, because that was a missed opportunity, especially with everyone that you've heard favored Carolina in this series. So, I mean, Carolina played a really good Boston team and dominated them in Carolina.
But that was your chance. That right there, that a silver platter, that was your chance to steal a game from them in Carolina where they're so brutally tough, and they haven't been that good on the road. Right? They were 4-0 at home in the first round. They were 0-3 on the road in the first round.
Yep.
That was your chance right there to say, we've done what we have to do. We don't need to win another game in Carolina. Now you still need to win a game in Carolina. And they're now 5-0 at home in the postseason.
Yeah. But again, the word you mentioned is the most important word, is resilient. So, I mean, you have a heartbreaking loss in game one, to Pittsburgh. Right? Game you thought was over. Goal gets disallowed. You lose in three overtimes. Igor stands on his head, right? It takes a lot out of you. But they bounce back. Only difference now being you're in Carolina as opposed to being at home, right?
Correct.
So you don't feel like I guess with all the positives I would take out of this game, the one negative I guess I would take out of this game is I don't expect Carolina to look like they looked in the first two periods again.
Because they won't. They feed off that crowd. And the crowd wasn't crazy early on. They didn't play well. They were very quiet. Rangers had the opportunities. And in that third period, the ice completely tilted. So now you're going to have to deal with them on the road. I swear to you, and this is true, and you're going to say no, but this is true. If the Rangers would have won the game last night, I would have sat on the couch relaxed on Friday night. Relaxed. Because I would have said
because now,
they did what they had to do down there.
That's exactly right. And I know there's no such thing as house money because you get greedy. I mean, once you win game one, you get greedy.
I would want to win it, but I wouldn't have been stressed to the guilds having to win game two.
No, I know, which I think is to your benefit. Like, you can sit there and say all you want, well, the series doesn't start until the home team loses a game. That's fine, but you still don't want to go back to New York down 2-0, right? So you win game one
need to
now.
Win 4 or 5, no.
Like, but now you win game one, now all of a sudden, okay, you know, we can loosen up a little bit. Like, all right, we came here, we did what we were supposed to do. Now let's really try to go get game two and take full control of the series.
Right. Absolutely. But here we are.
And then you had Lafreniere hit the crossbar in the second period. Ugh. I mean, ugh.
So many. Ronta was good.
Ronta was really good. Yeah, he was good. Made some huge saves. Huge saves. Shesterkin made some big saves in that third period.
Shesterkin was excellent in that
what
game.
Oh, my God. I mean, just what?
Shesterkin?
You know what's funny, too? And I keep saying this. Like, that Colorado Blue series, like Jordan Binnington played out of his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, it's like these innocuous shots that go through screens.
That's why you shoot the puck.
Like Lindgren, I mean, that's a nothing shot. Nothing.
Good deflection by him, though.
Oh, it's a terrific deflection, but it's a nothing turnaround wrist shot that Igor stops. You could take 5,000 shots like that, and Igor wouldn't let in one single goal. But gets deflected in by his own teammate. Ugh.
Yeah, just.
By the way,
really
good adjustment, too, because Santiago was having a nervous breakdown when Lindgren was banged up a little bit.
By the way, I went out of the group text
because I was critical of Gallant a little bit in that first round for not making the right adjustments. Him putting Fox with Miller was much smarter.
But that's what I've said, right? I don't understand how you could take a guy who doesn't play and now go play 30 minutes on our top pair.
Yeah, well, they
never
learned.
Made sense.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I pulled my quad somehow getting out of
How
bed this
How did
you
morning. Do that?
I don't know. I can't tell if it's a cramp or I don't know what happened.
Well, you don't have a cramp for hours, do you?
Oh, it's killing me.
Well, what'd you even do?
Nothing. I just got up. I guess I'm old, maybe. I don't know. I got up, and all of a sudden, now my quad, I'm limping around.
You should have seen me at the Rangers game with my back the other night.
Killing you?
People were so upset. Ryan Hurley's like, let me get you some anti-inflammatories. I was like, no, I'm fine. Roar! And then RJ sees me taking Advil, and he starts yelling at me, you can't take heavy drugs in the suite. You're not taking heavy drugs, RJ.
Here's what we do. I got it. I got it. Over.
Well, you were sitting in the chair, and somebody walked by, Rick. Not a word was exchanged. Dave's hand is extended. No eye contact is made. Something's dropped in his hand.
Uh-oh.
And the delivery person walks away. I said, what did I just watch?
He makes this sound like he's on Kojak, Rick. Dawn, who is the sweet attendant and we love, was told by Ryan Hurley that I needed Motrin or Advil, and she brought them over and dropped them in my hand.
Listen, I was not going
to... He sounds like we're Miami Vice here in this suite.
I played the victim because I am the victim.
I was not going to use actual names for secrecy purposes, but yes, that's
There's no secrecy.
You could have been taking 8 balls of Advil. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
This is exactly why he was hugging hard bodies, RJ.
I hugged hard bodies the other night. You hear what I have to deal with here? And this is RJ's fault, because before I said goodbye yesterday to the guys, I said, Rangers win, let's go, boys. RJ goes, well, that's not what I'm looking for. What I'm looking for is some kind of like a real storyline. That's what I need, a real storyline where something big and juicy happens. Like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? I was like, how about the Rangers just go win? How about that as a storyline? No, something like an awful overtime loss or a huge come from behind victory. This is RJ's fault.
Can you be honest with yourself? That's what I actually said. You're going to tell the people that?
That's how I remember
afraid.
It.
He's
yes.
not afraid to lie.
That's how I remember it. Then correct me. What happened?
I said...
This is what you wanted. You're really going to sit here in front of God and everybody? This is what you wanted.
God and them boys.
Yes. Who am I to get in the way of a good story? So
tell the truth then, because that's how I remember it.
I just said I hope it's a great game that keeps people interested. That's what I said.
I'll tell you what would have been crazy.
I think the way the Rangers lost last night moves the needle for you.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's not pretend like the first two periods didn't move your needle a little bit.
Yeah, but you know what? He would prefer the third period and the overtime loss and the Rangers clinging to a 1-0 victory.
Well, because he's a Buffalo Sabres. Well, he's a Buffalo Sabres
fan. I'm rooting for your best interest, which is content. You're rooting for your best interest personally.
Correct.
Which is a blowout win.
Correct. Does that makes me a bad fan because I want my team to win?
Great fan.
You a terrific fan.
Bad teammate here on the show.
Yeah. No.
Bad radio host. So, listen, sometimes you have to compromise a little bit.
I don't like compromise.
What you wanted was what the Calgary Flames did last night. The start that they got.
A 9-6 victory?
The start they got off to.
By the time they went to the game, it was 3-0.
It was amazing, dude. I mean, it was unbelievable. I was like, what the hell happened?
Yeah, that was... Isn't Calgary a defensive team?
No, that's the beauty. That's why I picked Calgary.
Because they can beat you in any number of ways?
They can do both. Their first line had... I mean, Tkachuk, Gaudreau, and Lindholm all had 40 goals. That's one line.
Wow.
And Lindholm was like plus 61 or something. He's up for the Selke. Yeah, I mean, that's... There's no way... Sutter, he can't be happy with what happened, but still.
Well, but you won the game.
Well, yeah. I mean, you chased Mike Smith out. I mean, yeah. The goal scoring and stuff was fine. You know, locking it down a little bit wasn't what you want.
What did they have? They had a 6-2 lead, then it was a 6-6 game?
Yeah, 6-6.
Wow. And then they score 3 unanswered and win it 9-6. All right, let's get to the calls. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Matt in Queens. Matt, lead us off. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, guys. Listen, I'm not, you know, like a big, big hockey guy, so I wanted to ask, you know, the third period, is that the coach playing like, you know, prevent defense, or the Rangers are just slow, or they're doing, you know, or Carolina's just so good? That's my first question.
It's a little bit of both.
Second question, a little bit of both. Okay. Yep. Now, my second question is, I forget the player's name, whoever deflected the puck. Is it really necessary for him to stand in front of Shesterkin? Is he in the right position? Is that what he's supposed to be doing?
Well, you're supposed to be in front of the net. He looked like he was trying to avoid the puck and just let Shesterkin make the save. And
yeah, but why does he have to be in front of the net? I don't get that.
Well, that's your position.
To block the puck, right?
Well, no, you don't necessarily have to block the puck.
You got Shesterkin.
Well, yeah, but you're good. Okay, where would you like the defenseman to stand? In the corner?
In the corner.
Well, he could be maybe off to – he could be like a little bit off. So give, you know, Shesterkin, especially with the puck out by the point, give Shesterkin, you know, a clear –
He had a clear sight. So he and that. Okay. So the puck's off the Shesterkin's left. So the job of the weak side defenseman, the side the puck's on, is to be in front of the net, is net front. So he actually tries to move to the side, because it's a wrist shot. so Shesterkin can make the save and doesn't get his stick back in time, and it goes in.
All right. So that was my question. You answered my question.
No, good,
I was
listen,
in the right position.
Questions.
Okay.
Good question.
I thought that was a good call.
Great call. The first question was a good question because I think a lot of people, and you heard after the game with Valley and Biron, did they sit back a little bit? Yeah, they sat back a little bit. But, I mean, you also expected that Carolina was going to come out in that first 5-10 minutes and really, I mean, and really play with some desperation.
I thought Carolina was going to dictate the play in the third period. To me, the Rangers were, I mean, they had no shots for like the first 14 minutes of the period, Rick. They went into a defensive shell.
Well, but listen, playing a 1-2-2 is, I mean, it's a defensive-minded forecheck. But, I mean, what's been saying that, it's to clog up the neutral zone, create turnovers, and then get the puck back, you know, back into Carolina's zone and try to possess it. Another thing, too, is, I mean, you got to win some faceoffs, too.
Oh, they,
I mean, you lose, so, you, you lose 60% of the faceoffs. I mean, all of a sudden, now you don't have possession.
So, I'll be honest with you. I terribly missed the Rangers announcers last night. Terribly.
No, I thought Sean did a good job.
Sean was good.
Ray does a good job.
You know, no, they didn't do a bad broadcast. I just when you're so used to your announcers and you don't have them, I missed them. I thought Sam is great and Micheletti is great and I missed them. But there was one, I don't know if you remember hearing this. There was one time when Zibanejad was taking a faceoff and was it Ferraro that was on the game?
Yep.
It was Ferraro. And who was the other guy? It was Ferraro, McDonough, and who?
No, it was in Leah Hextall.
Okay, so then it was Ferraro that said this. And he was like becoming agitated. He's like, for God's sakes, Zibanejad, he has to win a face. He has to. That is ridiculous at this point. And then he lost it again. He's like, this is killing them.
And he goes, yeah, and there he is. He got cleaned out again. He got cleaned out again.
Yeah. I mean, for an announcer to me, I mean, that's a big statement in the midst of a game. And there you got beaten again or whatever, cleaned out again.
But especially in a third period where you're protecting the lead, right? You know, going in, like, okay, we're going to try to just lock this thing down. Those faceoffs are important because now you start with possession.
Right. Yeah. I'm very upset.
It's little things. In games like this, it's the little things.
Right. In a game where it's 9-6, you have a million opportunities, right? But in a game that's 1-0, I mean, you're right. Kako hits the net. That we're not talking about this today. We're celebrating.
Yeah. I mean, you're ecstatic if Kako hits the net. Ecstatic.
Ecstatic would be an understatement because now I've taken home ice right off the bat, right away.
Yeah, you're doing backflips is what you're doing.
Yeah. Tell me you didn't have this feeling, because it felt like to me like the night was getting away. So Rangers blow the game. Now they lose. Then Scherzer leaves the game with an injury, and we'll get to that in a moment. Then the second Arenado hits that home run, I was like, they're gonna lose this game. They're going to lose the game. Now, Mets explode for a big eighth inning, and they make it easy. Late stages, don't even have to use Edwin Diaz. But, boy, that Scherzer injury, very disconcerting. Very disconcerting.
I know, to say the very least, right? I mean, hopefully he's smart enough that, you know, he took himself out at the right time so he didn't do, you know, real damage. But
which is apparently his thing, because I was reading on Twitter, every time he feels like there's an issue, he's like, I'm done. He never tries to push through it.
Oh, which is smart. I mean, that's the mature thing to do. I mean, you can try to be a hero on, you know, May 18th. There's no reason for that. But, I mean, how much of this can we withstand, though? You know what I mean? Like, it's already got... So you got McGill on the IL. It looks like, I mean, I would imagine Scherzer's probably going to end up on the IL.
You would think.
You got May. I mean, May's done for a while.
And, of course, DeGrom.
Yeah, this is...
And the schedule, like you went through the other day, becomes very difficult very soon.
Yeah, because, I mean, you've had great starting pitching. I mean, that's one of the strengths of your team. Now it's going to be tested.
Sure is. You want to hear from Max Scherzer? He spoke after the game.
Yeah, I do. I always like hearing from him.
Okay, here he is. We'll kind of go right down the aisle here. Max Scherzer, how you feeling?
Yeah, my side was kind of tight all today. You know, in the sixth, in that pool of bat, you know, just felt the zing on my left side and just knew I was done. I haven't had you know, kind of left side. You know, we don't know exactly what the exact injury is, but never had a left side injury before. So when I felt it, I just knew there's no way you can throw another pitch, so just get out of there.
That's not good.
No.
I've never had anything like this before.
Yeah, on the left side. I've torn an oblique. It is not great
at all. I don't know that it's a torn oblique. But
well, but I've had, so like, to his point, like, so when I, you know, was playing baseball, like, swung the bat, felt the zing, and I was like, yeah, that's fine, I'll get through it, and then kept playing, and then that's when I ended up tearing it. And then that's a whole different ball game.
I mean, that's months long, if God forbid it was that.
Dude, was serious pain.
Here he is. Do you have a sense of the severity of the injury?
No, I don't think I don't think this is a major strain. You know, like I said, I was kind of tight, and then all of a sudden it went. I don't feel like I really ripped it. Like, you know, kind of say it. You know, I felt like it just got worse. So hopefully I got out of there quick enough to prevent, you know, a major injury here on, you know, because I know, you know, obliques or intercostals, like those things can be nasty. Hopefully I avoided a serious injury.
So hopefully, knock on wood, right, that it's not serious. And that is at least a good soundbite, that he doesn't think it's severe.
Yeah, like I don't think, I mean, I couldn't have handled another, like a serious oblique tear from him.
No, absolutely not. No. And by the way, the guy has an injury. He's pitching through it, and he still gives you almost six innings of two-run ball.
Yeah, but that's not the first time. I mean, it was his first start of the season. He's pitching through a hamstring for some reason.
He's a horse is what he is.
He's an animal. Yeah,
He's an absolute horse, and good win for the Mets last night. He knew he couldn't keep on. He knew he couldn't pitch through this thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've had different body parts where you get zings in the middle of the game, and you think you can go out there and throw in there one pitch and it's going to be okay, and it's not. So I've had, I've had zings before, and once you get one of those, like, you just know you just can't throw in there a pitch.
And that's the smart decision. Now, here's an interesting soundbite. Do you think you'll make your next start?
Yeah, no idea right now. I got to wake up tomorrow and get an MRI tube and see the exact nature of what we got here. So it's foolish to even think anything.
I would be stunned if he made his next start.
Yeah, I mean, I would. We'll see what happens with the MRI. But, I mean, I don't think there's any reason to, I mean, if he's feeling anything, to try to push it.
No. No, why are you going to, first of all, what is he? He's 37 years old. He had to take himself out of a game. He has an MRI on, what's today, Thursday? So now you want him to make his next start on Monday? What sense does that make?
It doesn't.
It doesn't. I mean, listen, I wouldn't push him to start regardless, but you've done such a great job out of the gate here. You've afforded yourself an injury or two that you can work yourself past.
Yeah, I mean, listen. This is a marathon, not a sprint here. So, I mean, we're in good shape right now. There's no reason to push it. May 19th, plenty of time. Don't have to be a hero now.
What are they? They're 11 games over now.
They are, yeah, 25-14.
25-14, and you're home this afternoon for Chris Bassett on the mound.
They got a 6-game lead.
And a bigger lead over the team that concerns me the most.
Yeah, 7.5.
7.5 over Atlanta, who blew another game yesterday.
Yep.
So, again, as long as this is not a catastrophic injury, and we'll find out later today the deal with Scherzer, I think they'll be okay.
Yeah, I think they'll be fine. I mean, the offense will have to step up, right? Guys will have to step in.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, Pete has the most RBIs in baseball right now?
Pete had a shot last night.
That was some bomb, huh?
Yep, that was nice, too. I mean, you mentioned it. You got to stay away from Edwin Diaz, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they had the big inning. Listen, you know what, too? And I don't think we talk about it enough, but I'm going to talk about it right now. Like, whenever Guillorme plays, like, he always does something during the course of a game to help his team win.
Totally agree with you. I feel like that about him and Jankowski, too. Like, it's if they're in the game, they're going to find a way, be it defensively or lay down a bunt. I mean, that was Guillorme with the bunt last night, right?
Yeah, drag bunt. Yeah, McNeil scored.
That was 6-2.
Big fifth inning, yep.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. You know why? Because they're baseball players.
Yep.
That's why.
Like, well, they know their role. They know their role, too. They know why they're here, is to do stuff like that.
But that's how you win.
Exactly right. Yeah, those are the little things that help you win games. Absolutely.
And they're sitting here 11 games over right now. So, again, am I concerned about Scherzer? Yes, I'm definitely concerned. If you told me right now, IL out for, I don't know, two starts and then he comes back, I could deal with that.
Yeah, as long as it's nothing long term. Because, again, we don't know when. Like we don't want to have, there's no reason to have any kind of sense of urgency with him or trying to get DeGrom back.
But so I'm just wondering what they do, though.
Well, you have Peterson up.
Right, but still with McGill and Scherzer, you're down another starter.
Are they going to have to piece it together?
I wonder if Williams gets this that start.
Oh, he was great, man. He was great the other day.
But that becomes a bullpen game too, right? Because you're going to get what, four, maybe a little bit more than four innings from him if things are good.
Yeah, right. So Bassett will step up. Carrasco will step up. Taijuan Walker's going to have to step up. The offense will have to step up. It's bound to happen, man. I mean, yeah, Max Scherzer's, I mean, he's like you said, he's 37 years old.
I get
it. Stuff like this is bound to happen.
I get it. I understand. Now, Billy Epler, I didn't hear Epler on the K-Show yesterday. Did you hear him?
I heard a little bit. Bits and pieces. I was actually, I took Milo golfing again yesterday. He's like obsessed with it.
And? How'd that go?
I took Milo and Rocco.
What do you mean Rocco?
Rocco came.
But he can't golf.
He can putt. We let him putt.
Really? Oh, that's so cute.
Oh, dude, Cassie took the best. It's like the best picture. It's like the three of us walking off the green, and it's me. I'm in front, and then it's Milo in the middle, and then it's Rocco right behind him, all carrying putters.
Can I see that photo, please?
I would like
to see that stuff. I love that stuff.
I'll send it to you.
It must be adorable. So did Rocco have fun?
Oh, he had a blast. Yeah, but he's such a punk. It's like he putts the ball. And then he'll pick it up and then put it right next to the hole and then putt it in and get excited. And then for some reason he thinks it's funny to try to putt the ball into the bunker, so I have to go get it. So he smashes the ball into the bunkers and then I have to go get it. I'm like, what are you doing? And he laughs. He thinks it's funny.
Because it is funny.
Yeah, for him it's funny. Then I got to rake the bunker. And he's running across the green. And Cassie's like, okay, Rocco, let's go get in the cart. And he comes running to the golf cart. It was awesome.
So you took him to like a country club?
Yeah.
The people behind you must love you guys.
Well, no, there was no one behind us. They had we went after school, and they had, I think they had a Twilight shotgun on the front. So we went on the back, and we just bombed around for a couple of holes.
Is this your country club, by the way?
Maybe.
Uh-huh. So you're a country club guy?
Yeah, I told you. I had that big meeting. I got in.
Congratulations.
So they love the show. They love you.
No.
Yes, I told you. With the meeting, they loved you. For some reason, everyone
so if I
you.
Ever wanted to golf out there at probably some big, fancy, swanky country club on Long Island, you could get me a tee time?
I could get you a tee time, yeah. Well, you'd have to golf with me.
Well, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
No, it would be great. You bring bring Ben and Alex.
Ben wants to golf. He's hammering me all the time. God, I want to learn how to golf.
Oh, he would love it. Why don't you take him to, let's see. Why don't you come out here one time? We'll go to Topgolf.
The one out east on Long Island?
That's a great time.
Every time we pass by that, when we go to baseball heaven. I want to go there. You got to take me there.
It's awesome, dude. The food's good. They got good, they got good drinks. It's a solid spot.
Okay.
I wanted to open one of those up by us, but it's a little pricey.
Yeah, I'm sure it is, and you need a lot of space. All right, so Billy Epler, that you didn't hear because you were golfing with the boys yesterday, was on the K-Show. Where are we right now with your ace right-hander, Jacob deGrom?
Right now, the next step is just continue to stress the arm. And then he's just doing that by moving back and throwing harder. Generally, there's a very high degree of confidence in fractures and when guys recover from a stress reaction or a stress fracture. And as that happens, and as more time goes on, the calcification increases. And as that increases, you get more and more confident in stepping on it, so to speak, and throwing with more intent. What you don't want to do is you don't want to have an issue. And so kind of play the long game a little bit more here with him and get to that point where at the 2 month mark where he could really start to throw hard.
2 month mark meaning from when it started, I would
from
imagine.
When they shut up, yeah, from when they shut him down.
Which was before the season.
Yeah, which is good though, actually, that they found it.
Right,
like I told you with my pelvic fractures, they didn't find them. Like I was told, I had a groin pull, so I kept playing through them, and it got worse. But then then because I'm playing through it, your body starts compensating. Then all hell breaks loose, right? Like now I got a hip problem and I got a knee problem. Like so, the fact that they found it early and they're going to be patient with it, because let's not pretend like this isn't Nestor Cortez, right? That's coming back.
No,
from a stress
the guy
fracture.
Throws 100 miles an hour.
Yes. So, and it seems like that's not something he's willing to get away from. So, yeah, make sure that thing's all calcified up with, say, milk, whatever it takes. Call Buster only. Get him some fresh squeezed milk, whatever it takes.
Fresh squoze and milk, yes.
Oh, get some obedient chickens.
That's where Santiago can come.
Sounds like you don't have trustworthy chickens.
I can't believe you said that.
I love it.
Did we even get to the point where you uttered the words, it sounds like you don't have trustworthy chickens?
You were talking about free range radio. People were not very reliable.
and I said the chickens were untrustworthy. Is what it is.
By the way, speaking of not trustworthy chickens, Nick from Babylon got destroyed on Twitter yesterday.
People have had enough.
Oh my goodness!
Because he's a troll. Boom. Deal. Oh,
but I like trolls for the most part. Just
yeah,
not like
but he's
that.
Annoying.
Oh, he's suspended right now.
He's suspended.
This is the price you pay.
That's right. Is he the only one?
He's
currently under suspension.
Yeah, I don't. Omar's missing. I don't know where he went.
Omar's on the. I saw him on the back of a milk carton the other day.
Did you see the milk carton I made for Torts?
No.
I made a milk carton for Torts. It's like, have you missing? Have you seen him? they keep it in the studio now. Like it's in. It's like now a piece of the studio now.
So what? It said that he's missing.
Yeah. This picture on the side hasn't been seen in 2 months.
He must hate you.
No, he loves me.
Like, he loves you, but he hates you.
He loves me, but, yeah, I break his chops a lot. I got him coffee mugs, and he tried to break it on me. And then his wife gets mad at him. She's on my side. Kind of like Cassie is with you.
So Cassie adores me.
Cassie's always on your side.
Really?
Always. Dave's so funny. Why are you mean to him? That wasn't nice.
Well, I'm not mean to you. You're mean to me.
No, just stop it. You lash out like no one I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it's accurate. I actually, so we have Mike Maniscalco, the voice of the Canes, on at 7:35. Well, I used to do morning.
Sebastian's dad, correct?
Correct. I used to do morning radio with Dan in Raleigh. And I talked to RJ because you guys are in your little chat room getting ready for the open today. I said, RJ, let's just cancel him.
No, you can't do that to your old partner.
And you know what RJ said? He goes, if that's what you want to do, we can cancel him. I was like, no, it doesn't seem like the right thing to do.
RJ, this is what you do. Like 7:33-ish, as he's preparing to come on the show, because he's a real professional, you just call him and say, hey, we're overwhelmed here. We can't.
Yeah, it's too much. We're not going to have you on, but thank you for thinking of us.
I think Dave actually is overwhelmed, though.
It's overwhelming.
Dave may yell at him. Probably hasn't talked to him in months or weeks or years. Like
We text all the time.
Yeah, but verbal communication. This will be
verbal
the first time.
Verbal communication, it's been a very long time.
And you're going to yell at the man.
The verbal tip,
but constant. Well, because you know what? I'm still annoyed at this stupid Rangers fans aren't allowed down in Raleigh.
There were plenty of Rangers fans there last night.
Well, because Rangers fans find a way. That's what they do. But I don't like the fact that if you're a Rangers fan and you live in New Jersey or New York or wherever, you can't just simply buy tickets for the game down in Raleigh.
You would love that if that was the Giants, not the Cowboys fans. You would love it. All you do is complain. Well, when the Giants are out of it, no, look at the whole, you know, MetLife's full of Cowboys fans. Ugh. Stop yourself.
I don't think I've ever complained about that.
Of course you've complained about that.
Well, that's the Giants fans' own fault.
Yeah, but
you can't play God and determine who goes and who doesn't go.
Anyway. No, I know, but I like it. Give myself the best chance to win. Give me all my own fans. All the Caniacs.
Who have no idea what's going on in the game.
No idea what's going on.
No, I mean, no concept of what's happening.
They root like crazy, though. I'll give them credit. They root like crazy.
They think they're in the Nordic area. You see, they do this like... This Viking cheer after the game, end. What is that about?
Yeah, it's because they're trying to incorporate the fans. When I played in Germany during the locker, you used to have to dance.
One of these guys are jerks or something?
You know how in soccer... Dance?
No, not ice. Kind of. You know how in soccer they have the section that stands up and chants the entire game?
Yes.
So behind the net, it was a visiting net at home. They would chant the whole game. It doesn't matter. They were the most, like, compassionate, nice. Like, you could be down 5 goals, and they'd be still cheering, like, "Hey, you guys can do it." No boos, nothing. Like, they loved it.
The idiots.
So after you won, though, they would dance for you, and then you'd have to dance for them. Then they'd dance, and then you would dance. It's crazy.
So they would dance, and then would you have to mimic their dance?
Yeah, like, I forget. Like, I don't know exactly. Like, yeah, we would do some kind of dance, and then they would dance and chant. It was wild.
That sounds.
And then, like, on road trips, for some reason, like, it didn't matter how long the road trip was. Like, we'd have this thing where the bus would have to stop, and we'd have coffee cake as a pregame little snack.
I'm surprised you don't want to go back over there and play.
Oh, dude, the place was incredible.
Let's go to Rob in the car. Rob, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, gentlemen. So I think the Rangers deserved to lose that game because they played scared, not to lose that game in the third period instead of playing to win that game. What they were doing the first two periods was working fantastic with keeping the puck in the zone somewhat, but also really stopping Carolina from carrying the puck through the neutral zone. And when they changed in the third period, it just it was kept giving up possession in their own defensive zone, and they were Carolina was able to cycle, and they kept getting shot after shot. I don't know why they changed their strategy. It was working great for the first two periods.
Okay, so,
why, when something
so, Rob,
is working
let me ask
that well, you change it?
So, Rob, let me ask you a question. So we're just not going to give Carolina any credit at all. That's what this is?
No, they played
So the
well.
Rangers for the Rangers who couldn't defend at all against Pittsburgh, you expected them to go 60 straight minutes. 60 straight minutes against Carolina, who hasn't lost the game at home, and just shut it right down. Just lock it right up.
No, but why change a strategy that's working is what I want to know.
Well, how do you mean listen, they're in a 1-2-2, right? So it's not an aggressive forecheck. They're trying to do exactly what they did the entire game, clog the neutral zone. But, I mean, there are going to be times the team is pushing. They're more desperate. They're trying to tie the game up. So there's going to be, naturally, there's going to be a push like that. And you withstood
Correct.
The push, and you had an open net to win the game. To win the game. If
Correct.
Paco scores, the game is over. It's night-night, termite. 2-0, maybe they
You're
make
right,
it 2-1.
You're right, but not every chance you get to score, even on good ones, goes in, as we saw with several Carolina
shots. On that play, you should score 99 out of 100
Correct.
Times.
Correct. And Carolina should have had a couple goals themselves in the third period that would have also changed the outcome of the game in a different way. But still doesn't explain why you change what you're doing that's working so well for the first two periods. Why you change that, I don't understand. It's like they went to the prevent defense like football and teams go into prevent defense.
Yeah, but I don't necessarily know if they changed what they were doing. I think Carolina pushed. They didn't exactly execute what they were trying to do the way they did in the first two periods. I mean, as good as the Rangers were in the first two periods, Carolina wasn't great either. Like, that was not the Carolina team that we've seen, that we saw, I mean, all through the year and then the first round of the playoffs against Boston at home. I told you I told you to start the show. Carolina also, by the way, is the best third, like, goal differential-wise, the best third-period team in the NHL.
Terrific. Well, you know, when you had so many chances to put a second goal on the board, because you had so many, you needed to do it last
That's
night.
What happens. You can't let a team like that hang around. You can't. Listen, you got the first goal. It's exactly what Boston couldn't do, because Boston got off to a couple good starts in Carolina. Antti Raanta made some big saves and kept it scoreless, and then Carolina found their game. You scored, so all of a sudden now Carolina's going to chase it a little bit. Then you had plenty of chances. Hedl got robbed. Like, it could have been 2-3-0. So as bad as you thought it was, because they got away from what they were doing, you still had a chance.
Should have won that game.
For Kako to score an empty net goal. And this is not like a breakaway where, you know, Niederreiter hits the crossbar. This is a wide open freaking net.
I mean, wide open.
The people are crazy, man.
Like that, you score that 99 times out of 100,
yes,
right?
He would tell you that. That's, I mean, it's right on his stick. Raanta hadn't even moved yet. It's like the goal the other day where Corey Perry got that pass from Kucherov to the wide open net. He missed it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put yourself in a spot where you're only up a goal. And then you decide that you're gonna change for some reason and turn a 1-2-2 into a 1-1-2. And then Panarin decides, you know what, I'm not going to backcheck. I'm good. I'm going to coast back to the net. And Shesterkin makes a sick save on Aho, too.
It was a great save. Panarin wasn't great again last night.
No. And then Strome had a big chance across the crease. That dumb penalty he took, too.
That was a dumb. Those are the only penalties of the game, right?
Yeah, that was it.
I like that.
I do, too. But, I mean, you never want to take. I mean, come on.
No.
You take a tripping penalty in the
right
offensive
away.
Zone on your power play?
Right away. Kenny Jersey. Good morning, Ken. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, Dave and Rick. And Dave, I heard you this morning, all depressed and everything. Did you go again?
Very, Kenny. Kenny, I am very down today.
You're starting again, Dave. You're starting it again. Don't worry, man. We'll beat Carolina 4-2. We outplayed them guys so bad. We just lost a dumb hockey game. That was a dumb hockey game.
So you expect the Rangers to beat a team that I honestly look at as better than them four of the next five games?
We're going to beat them 4-2. Don't worry about it.
I am worried about it. You know what, Kenny? I will sit here and tell you I'm worried about it. When the Rangers come back and win this game, this series in six, you call and tell me you told me so, okay?
I will. I'm going
to
do that. But
I look forward to it.
I'm concerned about the Mets. Now, I'm concerned with you about this pitcher, man. Now, I don't like the fact that he called himself out. You know, that's never good. So I would be worried about that, but I'm not worried about the Rangers. The Rangers still look good. It's like they just lost a dumb hockey game. It was just like, that's hockey. Sometimes you outplay somebody and then you can just lose.
Kenny, let me explain to you the fear here for Dave is that the Rangers look so good in the first two periods, and we haven't seen Carolina look that bad in a long time.
And you still lost.
So I don't expect Carolina to look that bad. And I'm not sure if the Rangers played almost a perfect two periods. Like, Igor didn't have to make any huge saves. He had plenty, I mean, plenty of chances in that first period to make it 2 or 3 nothing. But see, that's the thing, though. It's so hard, and this is why what Tampa's doing right now is amazing, is to commit to that style of hockey for all 60 minutes where, you know, you're that good on the walls getting pucks out. You're getting pucks deep. You got guys that are actually, like, you know, forwards are coming all the way back on the back check. Because now the D can stand up and can make it hard for you to get into the zone. Like, that's a commitment, man. It is.
It is a commitment. And you could have taken a lot of pressure off yourself last night by getting that victory.
Yeah.
Game two.
I mean, dude, that's all the pressure. We need some of the pressure. That's all the pressure going into game two off you if you win that game.
I mean, do you know how much pressure they have in game two if you win that game last night?
Oh, my goodness. Especially with how they played in Boston.
Now, if, and it's a big if, the Rangers go out there and win game two, then yes, I will feel completely differently about it. I just, like you just mentioned, I it's hard for me to envision Carolina comes out and plays 40 minutes like that again.
No, but I would also tell you, I mean, Antti Raanta's good, but do I think that Antti Raanta, and he was good in the first round too. I mean, do I think that, you know, throughout the course of this series, if he's the one in net and Freddie Anderson's not, you know, not back, that he's going to make, you know, some of the saves he made last night? Yeah, maybe not.
Maybe not.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.